بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 10th of June in the year 2021 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 81st night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu. And I've reached number 4 with regards to his rank and status, and it's with regards to a few miracles which manifested at his blessed hands. And I mentioned 4 last night. So to mention another awesome miracle which manifested during his blessed lifetime, the very time of the majestic Amir al-Mu'mineen was blessed beyond measure. It was witnessed by one and all. So what did they witness? Shaykh Abdul Rahman Jami Rahmatullah Alayh in his Shawahid Un-Nubu'ah, page 212, it mentions, at the time of riding the horse, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu would start reciting the Qur'an, putting the first foot into one of the stirrup of the horse. And subhanallah, he would complete the recitation of the entire Qur'an before putting the second foot into the other stirrup. So let's look at this. So if you just use time as we know it, a person, as he gets onto a horse, his first foot goes on the stirrup, then he swivels up and the other foot goes on the other side. How many seconds would that take? So a person goes, a few seconds. He goes, what could you do in those few seconds? And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, in terms of zikr. So a person would say, you know, say a few subhanallahs, maybe get a shahada in a few times. If somebody says, you can get the entire Quran, you think, you know, he's blown a fuse. He goes, how on earth can you recite the entire Quran within a few seconds? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, turbo. We're just talking about reciting calmly. And this is what people would experience in the time of Ali. He would recite the entire Quran. So what's fascinating about this report, this was very similar, but not exactly like one of the honorable messengers of God, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lightened the reading for Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to order the animal, it was soon covered with a saddle. Subhanallah, as this was taking place, he alayhi salatu wasalam would thereupon read the Quran before the animal was covered with the saddle, and he never ate but from what he earned. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, Ahmad in his Musnad al-Bidayah. So it's very, very similar, not exactly the same as Ali. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he was one of those who received one of the holy scriptures, i.e. the Zabur. So the first thing to point out is the hadith mentions he would read the Quran. So was he reciting the Quran? And the scholars say, any revealed scripture at any time can be called the Quran. The Zabur was the Quran at that time. So this is why the Prophet said Quran, but obviously referring to the Zabur. Now think about this. The hadith mentions, and it's in Bukhari Sharif, Allah Ta'ala lightened the reading for Dawood. He lightened it, meaning he made it very easy for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would order somebody to put the saddle on the beast of burden. The hadith says, he would read the Quran before the animal was covered. Think about that. So this is now, the saddle's been placed, it's tied around the stomach of the horse or the mule, whatever. He's already completed the Zabur. So what's going on? And then it says, he never ate but from what he earned. mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. In other words, he refused to eat anything unless he earned it with his hands. And this is why the Prophet famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the best employment that you can acquire, to use your hands. So these reports indicate that time can be blessed. Now, how can we relate to that in the year 2021? We can't. Why? Because we're not very pious. People like to say they're pious. Right? In fact, you can go back. In the 20th century, Mufti Shafi, who passed away in 1979, rahmatullah, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, somebody queried these reports. He goes, I can't accept this. How can you read the entire Quran so quickly? So Mufti Shafi, he narrated the incident. He goes, one of our sheikhs called a man to come for Asr. And he goes, I will answer this. So the man came for Asr, and the sheikh sat down and he started reading the Quran from the beginning, nice and calmly. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And before Maghrib Azan had finished, he's read the entire Quran. And then the sheikh goes, has that answered your question? And the man was baffled. He goes, how did you finish the entire Quran within a few hours? Or less than a few hours? And he goes, Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq. This was in the 20th century. So people have experienced this. The reason we're not experiencing it now is because we're sinful. Now if you are sinful, the dial turns the other way. So a person goes, what do you mean he goes the other way? The hadith is in Tirmidhi, authentic. The Prophet ﷺ said that one of the signs of the hour is that a year will pass like a month. A month will pass like a week. A week will pass like a day. A day will pass like an hour. And an hour like the burning of a palm leaf. This we understand. Because everybody talks like this. Oh, what happened? 1 year's passed. Right? Now, why is that? Because we're sinful people. The blessings of time has gone. So instead of lengthening time for us, Allah Ta'ala is shortening it. 1 year's gone. What happened to this year? You know, people even say, well, what did you do this year, brother? Well, he just came and went. Then you ask that brother or sister, did it feel like a month? He goes, spot on, brother. The Prophet spoke the truth. What happened to the month? He goes, it felt like a week. Prophet spoke the truth. Week. Look how many Jummah come. It's Jummah again. Jummah again. Did it feel like a day? Yes. So, what's the irony of this? We're in the age of time-saving gadgets and devices. Think about that. If somebody says to you, have you got a washing machine? Yeah. Well, that should take 2 hours. The leaf out of washing. You got 2 hours? Extra 2 hours? Have you got a thing here? Boiler, yeah. Well, you don't need to heat water with sticks. And he goes, have you got a vacuum cleaner? Yeah, you don't need to brush. And you go through all these gadgets. And then you think, you must have a 37-hour day. Instead of saying 37-hour day, we can't even do our normal zikr. We haven't got time for that. Even people say, I haven't got time for that. Ain't got time for what? Right? I haven't got time for fadat. Never mind anything else. So here, this is the pinnacle. Imagine living in that time. A man put his foot on one part of the stirrup, starting Fatiha. By the time he puts his second foot on Nas, you'd be rubbing your eye. What did I just see there? This is how blessed his time was. With regards to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, just to add, in Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq 6-419 Al-Bidayah, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam used to recite the Zabur in 70 sounds, 70 tira'ah. He then used to weep over himself whilst kneeling for salat by night. Subhanallah, merely by his voice, he relieved the wounded and also the feverish. Thus it would cure or give relief to those who were ailing both mentally or physically. Just by hearing his voice. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So the Prophet himself is saying this. He goes, he would recite the Zabur in 70 ways. So what does that mean? So we believe the Quran has been given different qira'ats. Zabur, just like the Quran, Hadda. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Musa al-Ashari, you've been given one of the mizmar of Dawood. In Sahih Bukhari, you've been given one of the flutes of Dawood, meaning one of the recitals. In a very beautiful voice, Abu Musa radiyallahu. So he would recite it 70 ways, imagine. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the night when he was kneeling, he would weep over himself. So now what's strange about this? The scholars say the weeping of a sinless man. Look how strange that is. We should be weeping because we're full of sin. Sinless men weeping all night. What's he weeping for? Alayhi salatu wasalam. Then look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said. Just by his voice, when he was reciting the Zabur, other people would get better. So if you had a, you know, mental anxiousness, it would go. You had a physical ailment, it would go. Now what's interesting about this? Acoustics. You know, you hear these big words they come out with. Acoustics, what's that with that? He goes, oh, you can get cured through hearing. We're that far from our teachings. We go, hey, is that true? The hadith mentions it. You know, you've abandoned your deen. You actually get cure from listening. The Prophet is telling you that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the best thing that you can listen to? The Quran. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Ta'ala does not listen to anything more attentively than a prophet reciting the Quran. This is in the Sahih. Think about that. So when Rasulullah recited the Quran, that loved, Allah Ta'ala loved that too much. So imagine the Shafa. That's why people ask, why weren't the Sahaba depressed? Because they were blessed. And then he goes, oh, can you give, add a bit more meat to that, brother? Yeah. Rasulullah will recite Quran. And then they get confused. Well, I'm telling you why the Sahaba aren't getting depressed. And you're saying Rasulullah has recited the Quran. Because Shafa. Allah Ta'ala says the Quran is a Shifa. Is the Quran a Shifa with a book? You get a book, I put it over a person's head. Like you're doing these marriages. The Quran is a recital. Right? The recital is the Shifa. And what's interesting, even non-Muslims have experimented. In Norway, I believe. And the Quran soothed people who had ailments. And even, you know, we may have heard our own examples where non-Muslims hear the Quran, they don't know it's the Quran. But they're moved by it. Because that's beautiful. What is it? Because Quran, next minute. Oh, yes, yeah. And you know, there you go. Don't know what's been said, but it's been recited beautifully. So, and also, that's why there's a whole science in reciting the Quran, Tajweed. So people say, why is there a science? Which other holy book has got a science of Tajweed? Imagine you go to a Christian. Do you have to go on a course how to recite the Bible? You don't know what you're talking about. He says, what? Right? Go to recite King James, right? And he goes, no, I'm just saying, is there, it doesn't, you have to explain these things to them. This is the science of the Quran. Indeed, there is nothing more beautiful than what? The voice of the human being. As can be testified the world over when one hears the beautiful azan. Is there anything more beautiful than the azan? People go to Hajj, this woman went to Hajj, and she goes, I was looking for that spiritual moment because I didn't get it. Didn't get it. And one moment I heard the Quran, the azan, and I started shedding tears. It was the azan. I heard the azan in Makkah or Medina. Right? The voice, right? The human voice, there's nothing more beautiful. Because Allah Ta'ala tell us to use a flute with the azan. Think about it. You know, the voice, we don't need instruments. Allah Ta'ala has given you the full symphony in your chest. But there's nothing worse than a disastrous azan. Now the Quran, just to mention about Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 17 to 19, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, Audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودَ ذَلْعِيدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. And remember our servant Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, the man of strength. He ever turned, i.e., in repentance. Inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-ashiyyi wal-ishraq. Verily, it was we that made the mountains glorify in unison with him. Our praises at evening and at the break of day. وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورَ قُلُّ اللَّهُ أَوَّابُ. And the birds gathered for him. All did turn to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Qati. Allah Ta'ala is telling you something 101% about Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. This is even greater than witnessing him. Allah Ta'ala is telling you about him. And what does he say? He goes, remember our servant. How often do you remember him? Look at how beloved he is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala was remember him. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودِ. Remember our servant Dawood. Then he mentioned ذَلْعِيدِ, the man of strength. He was tremendous strength. And he would turn. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions something very interesting about him. He goes, it was we that made the mountains glorify in unison with him. The mountains were joining with him in his zikr. And look at the times that Allah mentions. Bil ashiyyi wal ishraq. This is where the word ishraq is used in the Quran. And we famously know about ishraq, it's the 10 minutes after, 15 minutes after Fajr. Good year, mashallah. Right? Why is that time blessed? Read the Quran. Mountains were joining in with Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Zikr. And then it says, وَالطَّيْرَ mahshura. The birds gathered. Now why would the birds gather? Abdullah ibn Abbas, he explained in Al-Bidayah. He's commenting upon these verses. He said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he granted Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam a powerful and sublime voice, the likes of which nobody was given before. It was such that whenever he read his book, the birds would stop in the air in order to echo and glorify Allah Ta'ala with him. Similarly, the mountains also used to join him in praise and glorification every morning and evening. So imagine, as soon as he started reciting the Zabur, birds would stop in the air, you know, they'd hover and they'd join in. Imagine, they'd join in with the zikr, with Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. He's reciting, they'll be reciting. And this proves that the animals can recite the Quran in their own way. And then it says, the mountains would join in as well. Mountains aren't dead. So Allah Ta'ala and Ibn Abbas explaining these verses, because this is what these verses mean. Because when he would recite, it's like the world stopped just to listen to him. Because he'd make everybody stop in their tracks. In one report it mentions, birds would alight on top of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam's head to listen to his voice. They'd actually perch on his head to listen to him. And they'd join him on top of his head. This is recorded in Abu al-Shaykh in his Al-Azama 5-1703, Tabari in his Tafsir 23-149, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya, page 202 of the English translation. So imagine, somebody goes, how was time blessed in his time? Right? He was, his residence was Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa. He would regularly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Mishkat, that he would regularly offer Salat al-Duha in Masjid al-Aqsa. Shocking. So imagine, he's doing all his ibadat, even though he's a Rasul, alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a special affection, and there's a mihrab of Dawood in Masjid al-Aqsa, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this noble messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, his voice, there was something about his voice, you know, very touching. Everything would stop upon his recital. And what else did the Prophet mention about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Bukhari, there has not been any greater worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Dawood alayhi salatu wa sallam. Look at that for the Job, you know, dropping statement the Prophet made. Because nobody has been greater than him in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said something about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Dawood alayhi salatu wa sallam, he would sleep for one half of the night. Then he would get up and pray for the third. Then he would rest for the remaining sixth. So the Prophet is mentioning fractions. Half the night, sleep, three sixths. 2-6 tajid, 1-6 he'll invest again. That's what the Prophet said in this hadith. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would fast one day and he would rest one day. So half his life he was fasting. Alayhi salatu wa salam. In another hadith in the Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he never retreated in battle. Allah Ta'ala mentions a famous encounter with him and Goliath in Surah Baqarah. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُدَ جَالُوتَ. Dawood slew Goliath. How did he slay him? With the slingshot. Right? Now what's interesting, look at the parallels of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and Ali. Ali killed Amr ibn Abdud in the Battle of the Trench, the famed warrior. And the Prophet goes, Amr, this is Amr. He goes, let him be Amr. And he killed him. Now you've got the other parallel way, he's reciting the entire Quran as he just sits on a beast of burden, just like Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, he's got so many similarities, the great Sayyidina Ali radiallahu. And also there's many things, I don't want to keep, just to have another connection. There's a hadith in Ahmad in his Zuhd, and Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he loved to do zikr when nobody else was doing it. That was his like kind of a, he loved to do that. So once he thought, right, and he went all the way to the shore, it was the Sea of Galilee, I think. And there's nobody about. He started doing dhikr. Then a frog came out under the sand. Dadu, big dadu popped out. And the frog spoke to him. He goes, I am the Amir of the frogs. And there's 70,000 of us doing dhikr here. So Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, he asked, forgive me, ya Allah, forgive me. In other words, I can't see. After I come to a place, they get the dadus doing zikr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Nasa'i Abu Dawood, the croaking of the frog is his tasbih. So when he makes that noise, he's doing zikr. He's saying subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited you from killing frogs. Because they're a noble creation. Don't kill them. Right? So frogs, he had a mihrab. The Quran mentions it. And in that mihrab, he had a 24-7 ibadah. Think about that. He had a place where him and his family, there was always somebody doing dhikr there, 24-7. And that's where the famous incident occurred when the two men came. He goes, oh, my brother's been unfair to me. And it stopped his dhikr. And then he went into prostration after making the judgment. Allah Ta'ala was basically telling him that it's a good thing, but tawfiq is with me. And one last thing about Dawood before moving on, alayhi salatu wasalam. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Imam Ghazali's Ihya, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh my Lord, how can I thank you enough when by thanking you I'm using your blessing? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's the limit of thanks. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, obviously he can't, somebody goes, I can thank, by thanking you're using his blessings. He goes, that's it, that's the limit. Look at the way he was thinking, the great Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He passed away at the age of 100. Initially it was written that he would live 60 years. But Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, in his great love for his great-great-great-grandson, he gave 40 years of his life. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. He goes, ya Allah, please take 40 years of my life, give it to my son. And the scholars say, can anybody be more generous than the Prophet? Imagine somebody goes, I'm very generous, me, what have you given? 40 years of my life, you will give a second, man. Imagine somebody goes, give me 10 days of your life. Get out of here. Or give me money, right? He gave 40 years of his life. So he lived 100 years. And when the moment of death came, he was in his mihrab. And the angel of death, and he goes, who are you? He goes, I'm the one that nobody can stop. And he goes, welcome, welcome. And then his soul was taken. And then the hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad said, Sahih hadith, that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the birds, he said, hover over his body. Don't let the sun touch my father's body. So the birds, when they would hover over Dawood, they would do dhikr with him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they're hovering just to protect him from the sun. And the scholars say, look at how much veneration is needed for the Prophet of God. And he was buried where he passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the Prophet buried where he passes away. So even though he wasn't being moved, he passed away, just going to be buried. There was still a shade of birds over him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all our beloved prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam, and may he forgive us all for their honorable sake. Amen. So moving on to number 5. his being mentioned with other illustrious family members of our beloved Messenger. So our blessed Mawla Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's excellences are often mentioned together with other elite members of the Ahlul Bayt. Consider the following from another truly caught Lord of Great. So this hadith is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3819, Hasan Sahih, Tabarani, 1-157, Hasan. Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Ruyani, Abu Dawud At-Tayalisi, Baghawi, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 136. Mishkat, volume 4, number 43, in the chapter on the people of the prophetic household, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 685-6 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Osama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu, he said, I was once sitting, and Ali and Abbas asked permission to enter, radiallahu anhu. So picture this here. Osama ibn Zayd, the beloved of the beloved of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sitting with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali and Abbas are wanting to enter the dwelling. They asked, O Osama, radiallahu anhu, please grant permission for us to have an audience with Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Osama goes, I entered and I said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali and Abbas are seeking permission to enter. They want to be in your presence. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked, Atadri ma ja'a bihima. Do you know what has brought them here, O Osama? So Osama goes, no, I have no idea, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet smiled. He goes, but I know. He goes, give them permission. So stop in the report. Revelation descended upon the Prophet. When they entered, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have come to ask you, which of your family member is most beloved to you? So the Prophet is looking at Abbas, his uncle. He's looking at Ali, his cousin, his son-in-law. He's looking at Osama. And then he said, Fatima, my daughter. Because no, Ya Rasulullah, we're not asking about your daughter. We're asking basically about us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَحَبُّ أَحْلِي إِلَيَّ مَنْ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْهِ أُسَامَةُ بْنُ زَيْدِ. Then the most beloved of my family, then he recited, is the one on whom Allah has bestowed bounty, and I have bestowed bounty upon him. Then he added, Osama ibn Zayd. So look how strange. Abbas and Ali is asking. Osama's got nothing to do with it. And Rasulullah says, then the most beloved of my family, and he recited Quran, I'll mention the verse in a bit, is the one on whom Allah Ta'ala has bestowed his bounty, and I have bestowed bounty, Osama. They then asked, who next, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet said, Ali ibn Abu Talib. So Abbas, he is devastated. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've placed your uncle, your father's brother last. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Aliyan qad sabaqaka bil hijra. Verily Ali performed hijra before you, O my uncle. In other words, this is nothing personal. There's some deeds he's done, and he has to be honored. So now, if you didn't know nothing about Osama ibn Zayd, except this one hadith, that's all you need to know about him. He was preferred over Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, and Ali. And after that, Ali was mentioned, after the Abbas, Allahu Akbar, to be mentioned before the venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu, should speak volumes on how much our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved the venerable youngster, Osama ibn Zayd. Now what's important? Osama at the time was a teenager. So don't get the impression he was 28, 30, 35. Right? At the time, 15, 14 years old. Abbas, obviously, you know, maybe in his 60s at the time. Ali radiallahu anhu, possibly 30, maybe slightly younger. He pointed to a teenager. Because he's more beloved. And the reason is the Quran. Allah, the Prophet would never put his own preference in wake when Allah Ta'ala mentions. So just to add this to finish. Hafiz Mullah Ariqari, he explained what this meant. In Mirqat al-Mafatih, number 6177, or volume 10, page 546, Hafiz Mullah Ariqari, who is buried in Makkah, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, the one intended here is the one about whom the Quran says, and he recited Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 37. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أنعم الله عليه وأنعمت علي. The one who has received the grace of Allah and your grace. He explained, this was Zayd ibn al-Haritha رضي الله. No one differs in this view, there is no doubt. However, even though the verse was revealed regarding Zayd ibn al-Haritha رضي الله, the Holy Prophet in this hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred it also to Osama, the son of Zayd ibn al-Haritha radiyallahu anhuma. The reason being that the son is the follower of the father. So there's the explanation. Because the verse isn't talking about Osama. The verse is talking about Zayd ibn al-Haritha radiyallahu anhuma. And look at his honor. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, I have given him grace and you have given him grace. Which of the Sahaba has that? Allah Ta'ala has graced him and Rasulullah has graced him. Zayd ibn al-Haritha. Not only that, his name is in the Quran. The only Sahaba who is mentioned by name. That verse is talking about him. So why did Rasulullah recite it for Osama? Because Hafiz Mullah Ariqai, that's his son. So Rasulullah goes, how can I forget Zayd? He goes, the one most beloved to me is أَحَبُّ أَحْلِ عِلِيَّ مَنْ قَدْ أَنْعَمُ اللَّهُ عَلِيهِ وَأَنْعَمْتُ عَلِيهِ Osama ibn Zayd. The most beloved of my family. And then he quotes the Quran. Is the one in whom Allah Ta'ala has graced and I have graced. Osama ibn Zayd. After that, it was Ali. And when Abbas asked for clarification, he did hijrah before you. He migrated before you. Because why? Abbas came well late. He was told to stay behind. Radiyallahu. So all I mentioned today was basically another amazing miracle which many witnessed during the time of Sayyidina Ali, that his time was truly blessed. And it's hard to even comprehend that the Quran, the entire Quran, could be recited so quickly with, you know, measured tone. Then I mentioned something about the great and holy messenger Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, because of the similarity. And the Quran mentioning we should remember him. And then I went on to point number 5, where Ali is mentioned with other august family members of the Prophet ﷺ. Are there any questions? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.